that this a sneeze was your soul trying to escape through your nose. So by saying bless you, it kept your soul trapped in your body.
Oh, coming soon.
Somebody should fact check me. I don't want to be spreading false rumors about any religion, but I think that's it. That's the story.
Coming soon to Two Substitutes Religious News. Alright, hello and welcome back to another episode of Two Substitutes.
Hello.
Hello, Akshay. Wait, you didn't let me introduce you.
Alright.
I'm joined by Akshay again. Welcome back, Akshay.
Hello.
How's it going?
It's going pretty good. Excited for the new season.
Your family is here.
Yeah, my family is here. My niece. She's playing FIFA.
FIFA. Scoring lots of goals.
In the background.
Yeah,
she likes to score goals with Aubameyang. Hope he scores in real life as well.
Start them young.
Yeah.
Soon she'll have a YouTube channel.
Yeah, I think it's just the World Cup made it like for
more
kids. I think they like the World Cup a lot and they're like into football now. So
yeah.
Any game that lets them play,
that's
they
nice.
Feel it entertaining and they like it. So
maybe
nice.
That's how we should promote football in India, you know, during World Cup time.
Yeah, it's very easy to get people hooked on to the
yeah.
sport.
And or have kids during World Cup.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right then, so we should talk about the upcoming Premier League season and the transfers, rumors and confirmed transfers. Season is almost here now, it starts on Friday.
Yep.
What are your general hopes from, let's start with Arsenal then, general hopes from your team?
From my
season?
Team, I just would like to see progress in the right direction. So there have been lots of things happened in this season, especially Arsene Wenger going out after 22 years at the club. We have a new manager, have a new staff with him. And we signed some new players, so it's really exciting to see all this happening.
Yeah.
And I think for the transfers, we have made a good business this time. We got our signings early on, and I think like we are ready. We could do with one more signing, but overall, like we are still in a very good position than we were before.
One more signing in which?
I would have liked to get a winger because we lack that out-and-out wide player or tricky winger who has pace and can run at the defenses. We have Mkhitaryan who can play on the wings. Ozil can play on the wings, but they both are like they're not known for their pace or trickery as much. They're more of creative players.
Because on wings, they would have to
track back as
also,
well.
Also, yeah.
And then
which?
Yeah. So, yeah, we can be... Like having a good winger can really help, but even if that doesn't happen, I think we have a good squad still. And I would like to see progress. So last season we finished sixth. That's the bottom end of that elite league of Big Six in the Premier League. So I would like to see that change this season. May not be like I'm not expecting us to win the league just because I know that there are stronger teams than Arsenal, but just finishing top four or even like anything better than sixth, I'll be happy with. And it's also because Unai Emery is our new manager, his first season in the Premier League, so he may find it difficult. So if he can get us above six or better than six, I think it'll be a step in the right direction, and maybe in the next season we can hope for more.
Okay, so yeah, I mean, I was talking to Nipun also about it. We'll throw this podcast off to him a little bit later and then come back because I have his recording. But yeah, he was saying Arsenal will start strong. I think most teams who have new managers tend to start strong, but then gradually, I guess he will start to he's bound to struggle, of course, because this is his first season, like you said. So, but I'm still expecting them to finish pretty high, because I think they have, at least right now it appears that they are not struggling as much as people would have predicted when, after losing Wenger.
Mm-hmm.
They seem to have all the right players, and
yeah, that's the thing I liked, that from outside perspective you think that everything is within our, like everything is in control, like under control, or we are doing the right things that you would expect, so everything is going according to the plan. So if they have had it planned, then I think there was a really good plan to have a succession in the manner that they're doing it right now. But
yeah,
season has not started yet, so we'll get to know more once the season starts.
Yeah, either his season could be like Conte, or
yeah,
the first time he joined, or
right,
it could be.
And also in the playing style, I think in the friendlies we're playing with a different style, you can see the change in our team and the way we are playing football. So I think it bodes well for us, and I'm really excited to see, I think Aubameyang, Ozil, all of our guys together again, obviously.
Yeah, so that was Arsenal. They what are the signings? I also read they might be not going for Wenger, but I think the I read they might be going for Nzonzi. So I have not heard anything about them signing a winger. So
yeah, there have been strong rumors about Ousmane Dembele from Barcelona. He was pictured with
oh yeah, I saw
his
that
ex Dortmund players. He was pictured with Aubameyang, Mkhitaryan, Lacazette. But he's friends, so you could see that why Lacazette was there. And like our new signing, Guendouzi from PSG, he was also there, but he's also French. And Mkhitaryan and Aubameyang, they were like ex-teammates. So they were together in London, so that sparked all that rumor. And Dembele also may be on the lookout for a new club, because it's not happening for him at Barcelona.
And so Barcelona signed a few, Malcolm also.
Yeah, they signed Malcolm,
so
who plays in his position. So if that happens, I'll be happy with that signing. But that's the, I mean, that's one of the strongest rumor for winger for Arsenal.
Okay. So let's move on to, did you see the Community Shield?
No, I didn't, because of Sling. We don't have the official channel.
But yes. Yeah.
But I could have watched it online, but I didn't do that.
And it was not, I mean, still a friendly, I guess, apart from the clubs who are actually playing, fans of other teams, I don't think would have watched the game.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe football experts and TV commentators would be the other people who saw the game. But it was an indicator of how far Man City are ahead of the other teams. I think the only team that looked like they could cause problems to Man City or Liverpool for right now. Man City didn't sign a lot of players. They just signed Riyad Mahrez, but they didn't need to. And Mahrez is also like a, what is it? What's the term?
A marquee signing, or like, no, he's
cherry on top or something.
Yeah, he may not be a starter for their team.
Yeah.
It tells a lot.
So, and so talking about Man City, I still have them as winning the league in my predictions. I don't know. What's your, who's your winner?
I would say the same, just because I don't see any other team matching up with Man City. And what we've seen last season, if you go by progression, that's what Pep Guardiola likes. I think if they can, don't think there is too much room for them to get better, but if they do, then they'll definitely win the league. And with the players that they have, their edge profile and everything that we talked about them, it's like really hard to see anyone else knocking them off from that first spot for next 2-3 seasons at least.
And some of the young players also will be getting chances this season. I think I saw Phil Foden.
Mm-hmm.
He was playing really well yesterday. So there were two youngsters from Chelsea, Hudson-Odoi, I'm excited about. He is also a great player in the making if he gets right chances and he keeps his head. But so the other team I talked about who could cause the most problems to Man City is Liverpool. I think they have strengthened their defense with the signing of Alisson Alisson, I think how you say his name. He's a really good goalkeeper. And then Virgil van Dijk, who is already there. And then they signed they have Keita and Fabinho. Both of them are really good players. So, and they are an upgrade on Henderson, who is already, who also plays well.
On and off, he's not like a consistent performer. But yeah, they've made really good signings. They may,
and their front line doesn't need any mention.
Yeah, they have Firmino, Salah, Mane.
And they also signed Shaqiri, who scored a really good goal.
Oh yeah, they signed Shaqiri, another attacking signing. Yeah. So yeah, I think the only thing that they lack at this point is maybe like still another center back to pair with Virgil van Dijk. But other than that, they've done really good business this transfer window.
Hmm.
And with the way they played last season, I think they can be considered, or they will be in the title race this season.
Yeah, so I was saying just the attraction of a good manager for players. Because if they... I could not imagine if Brendan Rodgers was the manager still of Liverpool, players like Keita or Fabinho or Alisson signing for Liverpool, but they see the potential and future of Liverpool, all these players, and that's why they decided to sign. Because at one point even Chelsea were in the rumours to sign Alisson, but he went to Liverpool. So it's just the attraction of Klopp and the way Liverpool have been playing. So this season would be exciting. Looks like Liverpool have not lost their goal scoring touch.
Yeah, they beat Man United in a friendly.
Yeah,
is that what you're hinting at?
Yeah. Oh, talking about, yeah, so I already talked to, this leads us, gives us a perfect segue. We should move on to Nipun's chat and then we'll come back.
Okay.
What's going on?
Hey Nipun, morning.
Varun, what's going on, bro? Good morning.
Good. It's actually rainy weather, depressing weather outside, so.
Oh, it's hot. I just went for a run. I would take some rain.
What else? How's it going?
All well, bro. All well. Things are good with you. How's Akshay doing?
Akshay is good. His wife is, I don't know if you were here last time we chatted, but yeah, he got married and his wife is here now, so.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Back home?
Yeah, he got married there, but then his wife came here now in US, so they are living together.
So I have to ask the magic question, love marriage or arranged marriage?
Arranged.
Nice, man.
Okay. So, yeah, first of all, I don't think I got opinion about the World Cup final. What did you think of it?
Yeah, it was a fun watch. I watched it at like my girlfriend's place, and she was kind of enjoying it as well. I thought Croatia made a really good account of themselves, but I think, and you can make the argument that in the initial stages, Croatia kind of dominated proceedings.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, when you have game changers like Mbappe and Pogba, I think that really helps, especially when you have a balanced side like France, which is really what they had. They're the most balanced side in the World Cup. And they were worthy winners, deserved winners in the end.
Right, yeah. I think in the group stages, maybe for one or two games, they did struggle as any team would, I guess. But they did find their groove. At some point, even Belgium was looking like a solid team.
Right. When you have the great Marouane Fellaini, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. The GOAT, as you say. Yeah.
The GOAT.
I'm ready for the Premier League and all the other leagues.
Yeah, it's crazy. The Premier League's only like 6 days away. That's really crazy.
No, it starts with the Community Shield, right? So it starts tomorrow. No?
No, nobody cares about the Community Shield except the two teams playing in it.
I am more excited about some of the other leagues also because of the transfers that happened.
Sure.
Ronaldo moving to Juventus. Would you say that's the biggest news of this transfer market?
I think it's the biggest news. I don't think if it's the best transfer.
Yeah,
I would argue the best transfer this summer has been Fabinho to Liverpool.
Because,
first of all, he's a fantastic footballer. Mm-hmm. And second of all, Liverpool caught everybody off guard. And nobody was tying Liverpool to Fabinho. Fabinho was being talked about with Real Madrid, with Manchester United, with Chelsea. No one was talking about Liverpool. And then I think a day before it was official, news broke that he was signing. So Liverpool was able to keep that completely under wraps and have signed a player that I think will give them so much, both in midfield and potentially at right back.
Oh, he plays a... yeah, that's true. Right back also, right?
That's how he started. He started initially as a right back, but then evolved into a very, very competent holding midfielder.
Yeah, I remember, I think last season or two seasons, last season maybe, I was watching Dave's video and he was already making plans of how Fabinho could be integrated into Man U's system. And Man U were looking like the front runners, I guess. And as you said, yeah, Liverpool caught everyone off guard. And I think Alisson would be the best transfer that they did even.
Oh yeah, that's also a good shout.
Yeah, based on how their goalkeepers have been doing.
So have we found out whether Mignolet is leaving? Did he leave? I'm not sure.
I don't think he left yet.
So they have Lloris, Mignolet and Alisson now?
Yeah.
That's something else, man.
Somehow, I mean, this just shows the power of a good manager. Because I don't think 2 or 3 years ago players like these would be signing for Liverpool, and since then players have had a chance to look at how Liverpool are performing in the Premier League and in Europe, I guess, which makes them...
I saw the great Andy Carroll sign for Liverpool, so I don't know what you're talking about.
You have to admit, man. Alisson, Fabinho, and Keita also now.
Yeah, and Van Dijk, right? Van Dijk is a fantastic piece of business. I mean, it cost them so much money, and it's a record transfer for a defender. But given how desperate Liverpool were for a central defender and a goalkeeper, they were always going to pay over the odds. Right. And they did, and both of those... Well, it remains to be seen. To be fair, it remains to be seen how Alisson will handle the Premier League, right? Yeah, we know being a goalkeeper in the Premier League is a different beast altogether. But what's for sure is that Van Dijk is going to be a fantastic player for them for years to come.
Yeah. I don't know. At least looking at his face, Alisson looks like he is ready for the Premier League. He looks always angry and ready to fight. Mignolet didn't look like that.
Mignolet was too nice.
Yeah. And even carriers. But yeah, talking about the money spent, I was reading your tweet also, and I also remembered when Klopp was saying he wouldn't spend this amount of money, but then everyone has to eat their own words.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's unavoidable to not spend this kind of a money, but yeah, he should not have said it before that he would never spend.
Oh no, definitely. Yeah. It's unavoidable, especially in the Premier League, if you want to stay competitive with the league leaders, which are Manchester City, right?
Yeah.
They set the trend when they spent 55 million on a right back, which was unheard of in football.
Yeah.
They spent 70, 60, I actually don't remember, between 60 and 70 on Mahrez, and we all know Mahrez is not going to be a walk-in starter, right? So they've spent 60, 70 million for a squad player.
Yeah.
So if you're talking about those numbers, you have to be able to compete. And it was extremely naive of Klopp to say what he did, because I think it annoyed Man United supporters specifically, because it was about Pogba, and it was during a time where that was a very common narrative, that United were overspending, etc. Whereas we knew, you know, within 8 or 10 months of that, Neymar had signed for 222 million, right?
Yeah.
So
Mbappe for 180 or something.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So Coutinho then for 120 or whatever it was. So the money just is crazy, and Klopp, you know, Liverpool fans won't recognize it, but that was a very hypocritical moment.
So I wish this, yeah, few managers would just accept. Some managers do, I guess, that you have to spend this money. It's crazy, actually.
Right. Exactly.
Ronaldo. So Real Madrid actually sold him at a profit than what they signed him for.
That is, but see, that's such a good point. Like,
yeah,
that is the greatest transfer in the history of transfers.
Yeah.
In the history of football and transfers. I mean, that guy got sold for a profit after winning four Champions Leagues.
Yeah.
And literally everything in the game during his time at Real Madrid.
Yeah.
Scored more than a goal a game. Just insane numbers. Best transfer in the history of transfers.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Oh, bless you.
Sorry about that.
I've learned to say bless you.
Yeah, I have too, man. This is just us.
Yeah.
Trying to fit in.
Yeah.
Do you know the story behind bless you? Why
no.
People say bless you?
No, what?
So, actually, I haven't fact-checked this, but this is what I was told a few years ago. But I was told that the reason people say bless you is because earlier on, Catholics maybe, or
yeah,
I think some denomination of Christians believe that a sneeze was your soul trying to escape through your nose. So by saying bless you, it kept your soul trapped in your body.
Ooh. Coming soon.
Somebody should fact check me. I don't want to be spreading false rumors about any religion, but I think that's the story.
Coming soon to Two Substitutes, religious news.
Religious news from 500 years ago. Breaking. Yeah.
So new. I'm trying to spread into new area. You know, football is getting old, so you have
exactly
to expand your.
No, I just googled it.
Oh,
this goes back to more superstitious times when a sneeze was believed to separate the soul from the body. To prevent the devil stealing the soul, the incantation "bless you," i.e., "God bless you," was uttered to release the soul from Satan's clutches and return it to its rightful owner. So you just protected me from Satan. I thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Always here to help. So talking about other transfer news, then yesterday I think was confirmed that Vidal would be signing for Barcelona.
I missed that. Yeah,
he signed for a reported 20 million euros. So he would be taking Paulinho's place, I'm guessing. But it's still a weird one. He's still a good player at 31. I feel like Barcelona are also moving away from their transfer policies or like promoting their own youth academy products. Or maybe it's just the sign of the times that you cannot really be competitive if you try to bring in the youth. You know, I remember the times when Xavi, Iniesta, all those players were coming from out of Barcelona's youth academy. Messi, Fabregas, but I don't see that happening.
Piqué, Busquets, Pedro.
Yeah. Spain.
Yeah, I think it's a good point. I mean, maybe it is a sign of the times. Maybe it's just sometimes what happens is when you have a big group coming out like that, it kind of prevents other youth players from developing very quickly. Mm-hmm. So that happened with United when the class of 92 came in.
Yeah.
And there was a significant gap until you had, like, basically Wes Brown, who was a regular first team player who came out of the academy. So there was, like, a 3-year lag phase where Wes Brown broke through. So I think that kind of happens sometimes.
Mm. So you're saying it's just it's a cycle?
I don't know, but that's another possibility. Yeah.
Yeah, because I was also reading in the last 3 years, I think Barcelona have spent more than Real Madrid in transfer business, if you look at
the... Oh, see, I didn't know that. You mean, are you talking net spend or spend?
On players. So like whereas Real Madrid, I think they might have had more expensive players, but that was before 3 years ago, and they have continued with those players. And Barcelona actually signed; they spent more on the transfer business signings. Mm. Dembele, Suarez, I think, and other
Coutinho,
yeah,
Neymar.
I guess then they sold Neymar for a huge amount of money. So
right, right.
So what do you think of upcoming Premier League season? Then about, I wanted to talk to you about Manchester United.
I think it's going to be, you know, it's, I think it's going to be another exciting season in the Premier League.
Mm-hmm.
I think Manchester City are still way ahead of anyone else, and I think until Pep Guardiola is there, I think that will continue to be the case regardless of what anyone else does. I think Liverpool have made fantastic transfers in the last 6 months, and it catapults them ahead of Manchester United to second place. Manchester United, I think, signing Dalot to kind of replace Darmian if he ever leaves.
Yeah.
Signing Fred will help United, but not elevate them to first place. And I think they'll drop to third. If Pogba leaves, I think it'll be even worse than that. The caveat to all of that is this might be the year Mourinho leaves, in which case, who knows what happens. So in other words, if Mourinho stays and Pogba stays, I think we'll end up in third. Fourth place is a tough one. I think Chelsea are going to have a problem, the same problem they did when Andres Villas-Boas came in, which is that you have a visionary manager who is going to try to play a style of football that is not
common,
a part of Chelsea's DNA.
Yeah.
The advantage Sarri has is that he doesn't have the crazy powerhouses in the Chelsea locker room that AVB had to deal with, namely John Terry, Frank Lampard, Didier Drogba, etc.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, it's more Hazard, who's kind of the de facto leader of the locker room.
Right.
So that's the advantage in bringing in Jorginho, who is basically his own, general, I guess, will help with that as well. Because of that reason, I put Chelsea and Tottenham neck to neck right now for fourth place, depending on whether Tottenham loses a couple of players. I know Alderweireld is being linked with Man United currently, and depending on whether they bring in anyone else, at this moment in time, I'm going to put Chelsea ahead of Tottenham, but right. I think that's very, very close, and Arsenal in sixth.
Oh, you're taking their trademark fifth place away from them.
Yeah, man, it's they're going to win the sixth place trophy this year.
Talking about Spurs and Chelsea also, so Spurs didn't sign anyone as far as I can remember, right, this transfer window.
Correct.
So, yeah, I mean, I know you don't have to spend a lot of money, but to keep something new in your squad, it's better to sign someone to get some new blood pumping in to the squad.
Yeah, some freshness.
Freshness, yes. Yeah.
I think so too.
Yeah,
I think so too. But to be fair, Tottenham didn't really make too many signings last year either. And if you look back at seasons where they made a bunch of signings, like mm-hmm. I remember 4 seasons ago, I think when they signed like 6 or 7 players and everyone was excited about them, they were absolutely horrible that year.
Right.
So I think Pochettino and maybe Daniel Levy as well, but mostly Pochettino, recognizes the need for continuity in that team. And possibly that's why they haven't made too many signings. And plus, of course, the overhead of a new stadium, and they're basically going through what Arsenal did, right? Which is trying to balance budgets after a new stadium and all that stuff.
The squad.
Yeah, I mean, for him, I think if you're Pochettino, I'm sure you want to sign players, but your priority in this transfer window was to make sure no one left. Harry Kane, for a brief amount of time, none of this means anything, but there was a brief amount of time where odds were slashed that he was joining Man United. You have Dele Alli, who's been talked about moves away from Spurs.
Yeah.
That's a very good Vertonghen, Alderweireld, Lloris, of Son. Course. And these are players that all had very, very strong World Cups, right?
Yeah.
So I'm guessing from Pochettino's perspective, getting to next Friday, losing none of his starters. Even if, by the way, even if Odegaard leaves, he only started, I'd say, right, what, 12 games last season? 14 games, I think it was, in the Premier League.
Yeah.
So even if Odegaard leaves, I think Pochettino will consider this year to be not a great transfer window, but a good transfer window.
Yeah, and I was reading, I think he's planning to freeze out Alderweireld also, because he's not signing a new contract. So I don't think him playing or not playing will matter to Spurs.
Right.
It was after we won the Champions League, and Roberto Mateo.
Oh yeah, it was after he won the Champions League, exactly. So
yeah,
it was Mateo. Roberto Mateo.
But yeah.
Yeah. Because that's how he announced it, right? People were talking about him deciding between City and United, and he said his announcement came that he would be joining the European champions.
Yeah.
That's right.
Some people were calling him mercenary.
Well, they're all mercenaries now. Except Fellaini, who's a living legend.
Anyway, there goes my stat. I was trying to make a point about VS Boas, but doesn't make sense anymore. Never mind.
But anyway, what was your point?
I was saying, yeah, since then Hazard has settled into and become one of the best players in the Premier League. So, wait, what was my point? I forgot. This will be blooper reel added to the group. your prediction is Man City first, Liverpool second, Man U third. And then either Spurs or Chelsea to finish fourth.
Yeah, at this moment, Chelsea, but I think that could change in the next 6 days. And then Arsenal in sixth.
Hmm.
And who knows, Arsenal, I think, might have a good season, right? Some people make the argument that they've been unshackled and fresh ideas. And I'm sure, by the way, Arsenal will start the season very strong.
Yeah, right.
There'll be that adrenaline and newness and... You know, the players they have are fantastic, right? You look at Aubameyang, Mkhitaryan, Ozil,
Lacazette,
that front four is fantastic. Then you have Ramsey, who's I think a very good footballer.
Yeah.
Defensively, they have two of the best fullbacks in the world. Defensively, in the middle of defense, are questions still. There are questions about goalkeeping with Cech. I think there's still questions about Cech.
They signed Leno also, from Bernard Leno, I think, is he from Werder Bremen?
Is he a midfield? I don't remember this transfer.
Goalkeeper, Leno.
He's a goalkeeper, okay. So, you know, I think defensively there continue to be questions about Arsenal, but that front four, I think, on its day, can carve open any defense in the world, let alone in the Premier League.
Right. Yeah, and they have switched some. I was watching some of their preseason games. They are switching. I feel like every manager now, most of the teams I see are switching to this high pressing style of play. And Chelsea is doing that now, and Arsenal did that in the preseason. Man City do that. Liverpool, or at least every top team in the Premier League. And
there's been some of that. I don't know if all teams... I don't think United presses much. I don't think... I don't really know if Chelsea is capable of pressing much with their forward line, to be honest. I don't know. You know this way better than I do, but...
Yeah, I was just going by the preseason games that I saw... And I mean, it's not a big indicator, but I feel like how Mauricio Sarri played with Napoli and judging by the preseason. I was talking about the...
But do you think they have the... So, setting aside what Sarri wants to do, do you think Chelsea have the personnel to press in forward positions?
Depends. So I know the 17-year-old guy... Hudson-Odoi will not be getting chances, so if he doesn't, then yeah, we don't, not at every position, we don't have those type of players, but
yeah, and it could be not a full-on press, right? So
right.
Man United, for example, when Jesse Lingard is playing, will press the holding midfielder of the opposition because Jesse's playing just behind our striker, so there's that kind of obvious link up there. So I think maybe Chelsea will set up where they press in certain positions, but not a systematic press the way the Liverpool or Tottenham use.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, yeah, I don't think we are we can compete with Man City now in terms of money in the transfer market, Man City or Man U or even Arsenal, I feel like. So I'm just excited to hopefully see some new people, new players play for Chelsea. I'm excited about the Hudson-Odoi guy. I don't know if you have seen him play.
What do you like about him?
Just his youthfulness, his ability to just not care about any defenders, as far as I have seen, like in the big games against Inter Milan and against Arsenal in the preseason. He was always trying to take on their fullbacks. Like I think he caused Bellerin lot of trouble in that game. He's full of tricks, and also despite his age, he's always looking to find the best option. He created so many chances for Morata in that game, but he didn't finish that. Morata didn't finish that, which was frustrating to see.
Sure.
So, I am excited. I hope he gets his chances. Obviously, he was playing in Hazard's position in the preseason, so I'm sure he'll not get a lot of first team chances, but at least in cup games, or if he comes on as a substitute, I would be happy. The good thing is we are not sending him out on loan, so
yet.
Oh yeah, before I think we that's all I wanted to talk about, but before I go, I wanted to talk about this Martial situation. What did you think of it? What exactly went on with him and Mourinho?
Well, nobody knows what's going on exactly, but one thing's for sure, given Mourinho's track record, he is trying to bully Martial into basically doing whatever he asks of him.
Yeah.
And the story goes that Martial asked him to go on leave for
the birth of his daughter
or son, I forget now.
Yeah.
And Mourinho first he acquiesced, but of course soon after he started suggesting that there were players who were unprofessional or weren't working towards the best for the team, you know, basically hinting that Martial had walked away without support, you know, was being disloyal, basically is what Mourinho was intimating. And I was in the press conference on for Man United Liverpool in Michigan.
Yeah.
And one of the press the very first question.
Wait, before conference. You proceed, you were in the press conference?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I was able to see Mourinho, how sour Mourinho is firsthand, by the way. That's a totally different and how magnanimous and how interesting Klopp is when he speaks. But that's another conversation.
Okay.
The very first question for Mourinho was about Martial. And Martial and Mourinho just kind of dismissed it. Look, in my opinion, if I was Anthony Martial, well, maybe not me because I love Man United.
Yeah.
But on any non-Man United obsessed person in Martial's shoes would leave the club.
Hmm.
Because this is a manager that is not interested in what is the best for Martial. He's only interested in what is best for Jose Mourinho.
Hmm.
So yeah, I think I'm as I've been with Mourinho almost the entire time, I'm just blown away that this guy is the manager of Manchester United, and in a bad way. Not like I'm blown away. Yeah. Wow.
So you're
why?
So you're saying he's not even interested in what's good for Man U? Because I guess keeping your players happy is part of keeping your club happy, right? But you think,
I mean, for him, the only thing that matters, I mean, he's extremely successful and extremely driven to win, and that's his.
Yeah.
You know, if you're talking about, I don't know if you watch Westworld, right? The show, They talk about and the cornerstone of Androids. Like, what is the central piece? What's the central driving force which defines all the decisions that that person makes? Mm. So in Jose Mourinho's case, his cornerstone is the drive to win. Okay. And that basically formulates everything in his life. So I don't think that he really cares about what's best for his players. I think he cares about what's best for what gives him the most chances to win.
Mm.
And unfortunately, what worked 10 years ago is not working as much in the modern day footballer, because his sourpuss attitude of Mourinho just eventually wears thin with players who are a lot more complex than maybe psychologically complex than they were when Mourinho first started managing.
Because I find it hard to believe that Mourinho is the type of person who would it's the birth of his daughter, Marcia's daughter. I mean, what person would not be happy about that or be sympathetic to someone else? Like, any normal human being would allow him to go on vacation. I mean, so I cannot think that Jose Mourinho is the type of guy who would be like doing this, but maybe he comes across like this, or like you were saying, his will to win maybe takes over his humanity.
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly how I would describe it.
Think that's all I had.
Awesome, man. Great chatting with you.
Yeah, it's a pretty lazy Saturday for me. I don't know.
Lucky, I gotta do some work and then head down to Bloomington, see my girlfriend. So yeah, busy day for me.
I hope you have fun though. Have a good weekend.
Thanks bro, good talking to you. We'll chat soon.
Yeah. Okay, see you next time. Bye.
Yeah.
Then welcome back.
All right.
That was Nipun talking about Manchester United. He mentioned the stuff going on with Jose Mourinho,
mm-hmm.
and how he has fallen into his third year sullenness. Is that the word?
Third year syndrome. That's what people use online.
Yeah, and you heard about Martial thing, right?
No, like, what was that?
So his daughter was born and he took a leave to attend the birth.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mourinho said something about in the press conference when asked where was Martial. He said, yeah, I don't know. Some players don't have the commitment. Most of my players show commitment.
Oh.
Rather than, so it's...
yeah, his press conferences have been weird ones. The one where he said that it's not his team or...
Yeah.
I mean, he was hinting towards like it will not be his starting 11, but the way he mentioned can certainly hurt some players' frame of mind, where your manager is publicly saying that,
yeah,
okay, this is not my team, I'm just playing them because other people are out or something like that.
So, I mean, where do you see them finishing?
If you see their squad, they have a really good squad capable of winning the league, but just with the issues with Mourinho and just the way their last season was, I think they still finished second, but they were still like way off the mark than Man City. So I think that's where they will be this season as well. They'll not be like, they'll be in the title race, I think, as Mourinho, unless like some he actually lives up to his billing of third season syndrome, they'll fall falter. But I would see them in the top three probably, which is
he can self-implode.
Yeah, he can self-implode, but if he doesn't do that, then they'll still not be winning the league, but they'll be in the top four for sure.
Mm. Yeah. So okay, let's do this then. Who is your top four pick for this?
Top four pick, say Man City title winners. Liverpool will definitely be in the top four again.
Like order.
Yeah, let's keep it the same way. So Man City, Liverpool. Spurs haven't signed anyone, so they may be back.
Yeah, we can.
We'll say Chelsea fourth and Man United third, probably.
Okay. Yeah. I'm happy you're putting Chelsea fourth. Sorry. Think Chelsea played well in the preseason, but against Man City, of course, we struggled. But you could always argue that we didn't have our big players. But that again shows the difference between Man City and us right now, because they also
have players out for the World Cup.
Non-big players are big players, so they have just a big squad with them, and we don't have. And it's probably not good to be so reliant on Hazard all the time for our attacking play. So I hope Sarri can instill his philosophy into all the team players. I think we lack the athleticism that he requires, or that almost all of the managers now require in world football. We see almost every team comprises of these athletic, fast running players. Really,
like, physical
specimen.
Because
no one wants, because that's the new style of football, I feel like, nowadays. So yeah, so players like David Luiz, who was really struggling in, because Sarri is playing in a 4-3-3 formation right now, and he struggles with when there are two center backs, because there's a wide gap, and he has more of a responsibility to defend. Again, in a back three formation that Conte used, he didn't have that much responsibility, because he was a center back
of
he
the
three man
in the middle of
line.
Other two center
yeah
backs,
so the other two defenders had the responsibility, and then he could just look for a pass, or which he's good at. But so I think it would be better if we could use Christensen instead of him, and partner Christensen with Rudiger, because both of them are young and have pace to defend. So I'm expecting, I'll be biased here, my prediction is Man City, Liverpool, and Spurs, and Chelsea. I'm just putting Chelsea in fourth because I'm biased. I'll not be surprised if we finish outside top four, though. So
yeah, I mean, I didn't put Arsenal just because I haven't seen how this new manager will be for us. And even though I would really like Arsenal finishing fourth, but just for the sake of that uncertainty, I would not put them in the top four.
Actually, I might put Arsenal third and Spurs fifth now, because most of Arsenal players did not play in the World Cup also, and most of them are fit, but Spurs, almost all of their squad.
Yeah, that's what their manager, Spurs' manager, Pochettino, was hinting towards, that he has a big challenge now because of the World Cup. So many of Spurs players, I think England squad was pretty much Spurs playing 11. And they haven't signed any player this season, which is weird to see that. But maybe with the new stadium, they have financial restrictions now.
Yeah.
And they cannot afford to spend as much. But I think they will struggle this season just because of that fact where they haven't signed and everyone else has signed something. And usually in football, that shows progress. Like, it's hard that people don't take too much of the stability of the club and the playing 11 on how those players, they know each other well, and maybe they can improve that way.
Yeah.
But I still think that you need signings every season.
Yeah.
And if you don't do that, it's considered as like not making a progress.
Yeah, just to freshen things up in the squad.
Yeah.
Oh, just
see them. We already talked about their World Cup factor and just like not making any signing. They have a good first 11, but the bench wise they are still weak, so I think that might hurt them this season.
Yeah, they have been proving everyone wrong though for last two or three seasons, but I guess we'll see. That and my prediction, we should write it down actually.
Yeah.
We never do this and then we forget about it at the end of the season, so we can compare. So we'll do this after the podcast then.
So
what are the other transfer news from around the world? Barcelona, we said, signed Malcolm.
And Vidal.
Vidal, yeah.
So that's a big signing. And
Higuain moved on loan to AC Milan, which didn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, that's a strange one. That's a very strange one.
And on loan as
with
well.
With Bonucci going
Bonucci
way,
after a season is back with his old club. And some fans were booing him, strange. And some were happy because he said, "Oh, I always wanted to play. I always wanted Juventus are my team. They are not your team when you sign for other club, but then when you come back, they are your team again. That's how it works."
I think that's the only. I don't think there is any like a major signing. I mean, Ronaldo moved. That's
some
a big
of the
big one.
Smaller teams though are signing a lot of players. Like West Ham have signed Felipe Anderson, who's pretty good.
Yeah, West Ham signed a lot of players actually, and some of them are really good. Like
Yarmolenko, they've signed. So many. Everton signed Richarlison for 55 million.
Yeah, that one is a crazy one. I think with Everton, we have seen that they spend a lot for signing, but last season didn't work out for them. I will see what happens this season.
And some of it, I think, was also to build back the bridges that they burned down with Watford. Because you remember last season, that drama happened with Marco Silva. Everton tried to sign him while he was Watford's manager.
Yeah.
So I think Everton wanted to get on Watford's good books again. So that was one of the reasons. I read today Barcelona made an offer for Paul Pogba and Manchester United took 0.4 seconds or something to reject it.
Wow.
Because first of all, I don't think Man U ever said they wanted to sell Pogba, and then also Barcelona's transfer amount was ridiculous, like 50 million or something, plus Andre Gomez and one other guy.
Mm-hmm.
So, especially in this market, that's nothing.
Yep. And also, it's still like the deadline day is still further away. So, I guess like...
Oh, deadline day would be ridiculous. I'm looking forward to it. I'm mostly looking forward to also watching the news channels. Just getting...
Oh, yeah, out there on the deadline day, how they go like show up at the stadium ground and in front of the stadium, see if there is any activity.
Oh, I'm getting this news... Chelsea have signed Lionel Messi.
Been spotted. Yeah,
that's the news. Actually, that's not a rumor. It's true. We are going under everyone's books. Oh, I was reading today that Courtois didn't show up for the training session, and he's planning to leave.
Yeah, he was spotted in another photograph.
And so I read that we are looking to activate Oblak's release clause, which is 83 million.
Wow.
I don't know how...
You could break the Liverpool's record then.
But I don't know. First of all, we have been rumored to sign a lot of players since forever, but then we end up signing Drinkwater and Barkley, so I don't trust any of these rumors. Let's see. Who will be the relegation candidates? Maybe the teams that have not done much and who struggled last season also but have not done much to improve on the squad. I think Watford, compared to how much they sign, they have not done much. Did Watford get relegated? No, right? They're still in Premier League.
No, I think they survived.
Yeah, usually they sign a lot of players, but I don't think they sign much this summer. So, think.
Yeah, Watford is in there. I would say for relegation, Wolves, one of the newly promoted team.
That's a given.
As given, like you have to have one of them. Then Cardiff City and Newcastle.
Okay.
Newcastle, although they did play well.
Looks like Newcastle to be relegated.
Under Rafa Benitez.
So today they signed Rondon also from West Brom.
Oh.
I think.
Last season they also, like, they played well sometimes, but they didn't play well.
Towards the end they managed to, I think, finish mid table, right? Of 13, they were not close to relegation zone. Or close in terms of points, but they were a few positions ahead.
Crystal Palace dramatically survived last season.
And there's still a rumor that Zaha might leave. either Spurs or Chelsea were interested in him.
Yeah, if that happens, then they will really struggle.
So let's make that prediction
after the transfer window is over.
But okay, I can make this prediction. Out of all the promoted teams, I am really looking forward to watching Fulham. Because even in Championship, they were exciting. I think they scored the most goals. And they have Ryan Sessegnon, who I am looking forward to watching as well. He's one of the young players.
Right.
And they managed to sign Jean-Michel Seri, who many of the big teams were looking to sign.
Oh, yeah.
And they signed a few other...
They had signed Alfie Mawson from Swansea.
Yeah, Mawson, that's signing, a pretty solid signing.
Still a proven Premier League player.
And he scores goals in...
What? They have Andre Schürrle in
this squad? Signed... That's what I was saying. Yeah, I'm looking... I don't know what it says about... If it says something about Schürrle or something about the club. But this just shows you the richness, the money that Premier League has. Even teams like Fulham, who just got promoted.
Oh, yeah, they signed this guy as well, right? Maxime Lemarchand from La Liga. I think he is a centre-back.
Oh, and they have Mitrovic.
Yeah, they have a decent team, a team that you would think that should be able to survive.
I think I have Ryan Sessegnon in my fantasy team also.
Nice.
Oh, and we should probably buy him early in FIFA 19.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He'll be FIFA cheap as well. That's advice for you guys. And I don't want to do the full table. Just wanted to do top six and maybe relegation. Relegation, I guess. You still have to give your prediction. Otherwise, it's easy to predict after you watch someone play. That's why it's called prediction.
Okay, I'll stick with Newcastle.
Newcastle, Bold, who? Yeah. Newcastle, and what were the other two teams?
Wolves and Derby County?
No, Derby.
No, there was one of the newly... Cardiff City.
Okay. I will go with Crystal Palace. No, I'll go with Watford. Crystal Palace. And Wolves, yes.
Okay.
That's my prediction. Derby County will not be relegated because Frank Lampard is their manager. They'll be promoted next season.
Oh, nice.
That's another reason why I'll be... That's the only reason why I'll be watching Championship also. Just nice. Derby County games. Those were the predictions. Your niece is scoring lots of goals.
Yeah, that's...
Oh, this just in. Manchester United agree Alderweireld deal. But Spurs want replacement first. Why do they want replacement? First of all, they were not even playing Alderweireld in their team. Why do they want a replacement for him?
Oh yeah, he was frozen out towards the end of the last season. And
he was so frozen out, you could make a smoothie out of him. He was so frozen out. Could use him during summers.
It'll be a good signing for Man United. I hope it doesn't happen though.
They also were planning to buy Harry Maguire. He has a price tag of... The World Cup has really upped his price tag. He's £75 million, or that's what Leicester value him at. Alright, then that's that. I'm excited.
Yeah, I'll be looking forward for the rest of the transfer window, and then we'll see on what happens on the weekend.
Yeah. We should do a special transfer window.
When it closes the transfer window special. Let's talk about transfers.
We should go to London and stand outside stadiums and actually...
Oh, that one. Yeah,
get your visa quickly.
I might just stay there then.
All right, then. That's it. Guys, thanks for listening. Guys. Thanks for joining, Akshay. And don't forget to like, share and subscribe.
All right, bye.
Bye.